Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here this morning. I think several people are still traveling and on their spring break. We want to remember them in prayer. And glad you're here today. This is a time of year, spring. Time is coming this week. And this is probably to many people, this is a favorite time of the year. I do want to remind you that we have our spring special meetings coming up, that we might be in prayer for these meetings. And let us be in prayer for who we might invite to come to these meetings. They are going to be evangelistic, so we have it's a wonderful opportunity to invite a friend to come and hear the gospel. And so may God lay upon our hearts someone. And let us pray for that person, that we might see them come to these special meetings. So if you would be in prayer with that about that with me, I would appreciate that. So let's bow the Lord in prayer as we begin. Oh God, we thank you that you are our Father, and by faith we are God's family. And we thank you that Christ is our head, and by grace we are Christ's body. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is our anointing, and by His power we live. We thank you for the Bible as your book, and by inspiration we have God's Word. And we ask you to anoint and open our ears to hear God's Word. We ask you to anoint and open our eyes to understand God's Word. And we ask you to anoint and open our hearts to receive God's Word. We ask you to anoint and change our minds that we might follow God's will. We ask you to anoint and use our hands to do God's will. And we ask you to anoint and use our feet to walk in God's will. And we ask you to anoint and speak your message through your servant. We ask you to anoint and help your church, that Christ would build his church to be God-seeking, kingdom-praying, connecting with God, caring for others, committing to missions, consecrating to ministry. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we finish our series on the church, Revelation, the seven churches in Revelation. And so we come to the lukewarm church. Revelation 3:16, Christ said these words, "You are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold." Now remember, these seven churches, that they were literal churches in Asia in John's day, that they also represent the seven periods of church history. So when we come to this last church, this is the predominant church we see in the last times before Christ returns. These seven churches are also types of churches, and they show characteristics of any church. They also show us the different methods of attack by Satan on the church. And so, as we look at these churches, we come to this last church, the church at Laodicea. All these letters went to all seven churches. And kind of interesting, it kind of spells out like a C, reminding of us that Christ is the head of the church. The city of Laodicea, this last city, was known for its banking. Of course, a banking center is a place of great wealth. It was also known for the manufacture of expensive cloth. Now they had, especially famous was a glossy black wool cloth that would be worn. It was a medical school was famous for the development of eye salve, a very famous eye salve that could be put on your eyes. It was located near Hierapolis, where there were hot springs. There's one city nearby. There were hot springs. And then Colossae, which we know the book of Colossians, was also nearby, and it had pure cold water. But Laodicea did not have any good water. And so they would try to bring in water from other cities. Laodicea was probably founded by Epaphras. If you look in your Bibles, please, the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Open your Bibles to Colossians, chapter 4. And we see here in verses 12 and 13, of chapter 4. These words, Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that ye may be stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. So we see Epaphras, who was a prayer warrior, who had such a heart for these people. And more like, probably he was the one who started this church, founded this church. Now, Laodicea Church, of course, represents for us the lukewarm church, the last days. And that reminds us of approximately 1900 to this present time. It's very interesting what each of these city names, what they mean. It gives us insight. Laodicea means people's opinions. Of course, we're living in a day when, with social media, when opinions seem to have such a concern upon people's hearts. It seems like, this day which we live that, everybody wants to check the social media or the opinion polls before they base their beliefs on, but we're not to put our beliefs on changing opinions, but upon the unchangeable Word of God. Everybody has opinion, but that's not what we base our beliefs upon. And yet in the last days, we see that so much of that Laodicean church is based upon opinions. What do you think? What do you think? Someone has said that opinions are like armpits. Everyone has two of them. They both stink. Opinions. But we are based our beliefs upon the Word of God. Now, it's interesting you take note of the first thing. We see how Christ commended these seven churches. But we come to this last church. We see these words, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. Now, Christ is the Amen. It's interesting, this being the last church, he introduces himself with that name, Amen. This is the end. So be it. I believe. Amen also is Hebrew, has the idea of truth. He is the truth. Jesus reminded us that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth to the Father except through me. He speaks also the truth. Christ is the faithful and true witness. He is the ruler of God's creation. Now this means ruler has the idea of the source or the origin of creation. We see in other verses that he was in the beginning. He was in the beginning and he was the creator of all things. All things were made by him. And here he writes to the indifferent, to the complacent, to the comfortable, to the satisfied. Christ is the source of our meaning and purpose. And, when we hear the words of Christ, we might say as in some, can I hear an amen? Do we believe the words of Christ? Are they true? Amen. We believe. So be it. They are true. Now, here, he says about their deeds, I know your deeds. Five times to the five different churches, this phrase we find, I know your deeds. But only the Laodicean church had no deeds that Christ could commend. There was nothing here that he could commend concerning their deeds. So there is no commendation. There is not one word of commendation. Christ could not find one thing on which to commend the church of Laodicea. I wish there was something I could say to commend you, but there is not one word to commend. Now, let me remind you of this. A Christian without Christ is nothing but I-A-N. I-A-N means I am nothing. If you go down the road and you see churches that may have Christian on the outside as their name, but without Christ being the preeminence and the foremost, I am nothing. I am nothing without Christ. What a good reminder that is to us, that Christ must be the center of our lives. If we're to be a Christian, without Him, we are nothing and He is everything. And because this church had put Christ outside, He was not sitting on the throne of the church. He was not sitting in the throne of the lives of these Christians. He was outside. He was outside. And there are so many churches that are involved in politics and so many churches are involved in social issues. That's nothing but the social gospel. There is no gospel of Jesus Christ in so many churches today. He is on the outside. And so there was no word of commendation that He could give to this church. But yes, there was condemnation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, and I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But do you not realize? Do you not realize that you are in need? Do you not realize the needs that you have, that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked? These are the words that Christ gave to this church at Laodicea. I wish you were hot or cold. Really? Why? To be hot is to be on fire for Christ. To be hot is to care about Christ and to put Him on the throne of your heart, that He is first place in our lives. This is, of course, famous for the month of March for madness, March Madness. You know what March Madness is? People are crazy about basketball tournament. Crazy about basketball. That's called March Madness. You ever heard that term? You know, we can get excited. We can stand up and cheer for our basketball team. And yet when it comes to things of God, our hearts are not moved. And those who reject Christ, of course, are the cold. They put Christ outside of their lives. And then those in between, the lukewarm, are the pretenders. Pretending. They're just pretending. You know what Christ said about this? I would spew you out of my mouth. You know, the word there, spew you out of my mouth, is really stronger than that. The word really has the idea, I would vomit you out of my mouth. To look at those who don't care, who are indifferent, these are the words of Christ. I would vomit you out of my mouth. I remember growing up as a parent, and I should say my children growing up, but you know, parents grow up too. But as a parent, children would get sick, and you rush in there to help them, and they get sick, and they throw up, they vomit, and you kind of have to grab your stomach so you don't lose your stomach too. And this is what Christ thinks of this church. So what can we learn from this? First of all, they are sick. You know, when you are lukewarm in the Christian life, there are three spiritual temperatures. First is a burning heart on fire for God. Look at Luke chapter 24 in your New Testament, Luke chapter 24. Here, the risen Christ appeared to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And as He appeared to them, He began to speak to them about what was happening, and they were sorrowful, not understanding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they began to be sorrowful. And the Lord opened to their... He began to speak to them about the Old Testament, all that was found in the Scripture concerning Him. And in verse 32, we see these words here. Luke 24, verse 32. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when He talked with us on the road and He opened the Scriptures to us?" Did not our hearts burn? You know, when you read the Word of God and God speaks to your heart begins to burn. And your love for Christ is on fire. Romans 12 and verse, look at Romans 12 and verse 11. We see this idea again, Romans 12:11. It says here, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never let your temperature go low. Keep on fire for Christ. Keep the fire burning." And in fervor, spiritual fervor and fire, serving the Lord. How do you keep that fire burning? You keep the coals hot. The Word of God, as we keep in the Word of God and we keep in prayer, we stir up the fire of our hearts. If you're not careful, your fire can grow cold. Being around other Christians who are fervent and zealous for God also stirs the fire of your heart, making yourself accountable to others. Whereas if you have those you're close to, or maybe not those who are fervent, maybe you're close to those who are cold, and it causes your heart to grow cold. And we see in what is a cold heart, Matthew chapter 25. Look at Matthew chapter 25 and Matthew 24 verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." We're living in a day of wickedness around us. And because of that increase in wickedness, if we don't keep our hearts close to the fire, close to God and close to Jesus Christ, our hearts can grow cold. Sin can cause our hearts to grow cold. And then a lukewarm heart. The lukewarm Christian is comfortable, complacent, and doesn't realize its need, the need that the Christian has. You know, both the cold water from Colossae and the hot water from Hierapolis, by the time it would get there to Laodicea, it would be lukewarm. It would be lukewarm. Now, we enjoy a beverage that is either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Remember the movie of that? I think you remember the story of the prayer that she served her friend a cup of tea and it was lukewarm and she spit it out of her mouth. So Christ is about to vomit them out of His mouth. He wants us to be hot for Him and not to let our hearts grow cold. And number two, that they are deceived. Self-deception. All deception is evil. But probably the most devastating deception is self-deception. Thinking that everything is okay. We're deceiving ourselves. Look at the description here of Laodicea. "You say, 'I am rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. I have everything I need.' But material abundance is not conducive to spiritual vitality." Our life is not measured by what we have. We can take nothing with us into eternity, but only that which is our hearts on fervor, our fire for Christ. Notice Christ's description here. But you do not realize that you are wretched, you're miserable, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind and naked. In other words, that they were unhappy, they were spiritually poor, spiritually blind, spiritually naked. Look at Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to consider these words here that Christ said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 to 23. These are some of the saddest words to ever hear. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say to me on that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Turn away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. And that's what Christ is saying to this church of Laodicea. You have grown so cold, so indifferent. I don't know you. And what a reminder to us. The words here, he also gives a counsel to this church. I counsel you to buy from me gold, refined in the fire. You know, when you take gold, it has its impurities. You put it through the fire, it burns off the impurities and leaves pure gold. And sometimes that's what we need to go through, some difficulties. It burns off our impurities. We may wonder, why are we going through this difficult time? Why is this so difficult? Those times are when they burn off the impurities, that we might have a life that is pure gold, so that you can become rich spiritually, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest. Be fervent and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. See, this church had no sense of need. Whether it be a church or individual Christian, we need to be sensitive to our spiritual needs and not be complacent. So what was the counsel the Lord gave to him? Christ gave him this counsel. First of all, there is a need for suffering. There is a need for difficulties. They needed to buy the gold refined in the fire. They were too comfortable. They needed the fire of trials. And 1 Peter reminds us this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith. When we go through these difficulties, it proves how genuine, how real your faith is, how real my faith is. It's of greater worth than gold, which perisheth, even though refined by fire, may result in the praise and glory and honor which Christ Jesus is revealed. So as that those impurities are burned off, it reveals the pure things that Christ wants in our lives. They had also a need for clothing. Laodicea was famous for his clothing, his textiles. But spiritually they were naked. They needed to be clothed in white clothes of righteousness to cover their shameful sins of nakedness. The white robe of righteousness is, of course, Jesus Christ. they were famous for their shiny black wool. Very famous, Laodicea's wool. Shiny black. But they needed the white robe of righteousness. They needed Jesus Christ to be clothed in Him. There is a need for clothing. I'm reminded of the story of the emperor without clothes. A book often read, The Children. And some people had convinced him that they made this special robe for the emperor. And they had sewn this special robe, and it was so beautiful, and they gave it to him to put on. And the emperor put on this special robe. You remember the story? Well, they had deceived him. It was nothing. So he put on this special robe and marched down the streets. And everybody was told about this special robe, so they all thought they had to say, wow, how wonderful the king is. And then finally a child speaks up and starts laughing and pointing at him, look, the emperor's naked. Let us not be deceived by ourselves or by others. If we don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness, and we're told to put on the armor of God, put on Jesus Christ every day, be clothed in that armor, be clothed in Jesus Christ. We have need of clothing. There's also the need for seeing. They needed to have the salve for the sore eyes to see again. They needed to have spiritual vision. Laodicea was very famous for this medicine. The Laodicean salve. You put on your eyes, it would help your eyes to see. And yet spiritually, they had no vision. They could not see the glory of God. They could not see, Proverbs reminds us, without revelation, without God's Word, there is no vision. We keep our spiritual vision by getting into God's Word to give us a spiritual vision. And then also, 2 Peter reminds us of this. 2 Peter, look with me at 2 Peter 1, starting at verse 5 here. 2 Peter 1, 5. For this very reason, makes every effort to add to your faith. Here are things that you need to... your faith needs to be added to make it pure goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and the mutual affection love, like the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit needs to be part of our lives. And if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is what? It says here, they're nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. When we allow God's Spirit to work in our hearts, we allow God's Word to do a work in our hearts, it helps us to see that we might not be nearsighted. All we can see is ourself, nearsighted. I can only see my problems, my needs, and I don't look out at others. I don't see others. I only see myself. Or we become blind. And so we're warned here not to let this happen. And they were famous for their eye salve. But spiritually speaking, we need to let the Spirit of God open our eyes. And then the other counsel, they had need for explanation. Christ loved the believers here, even though their love for Him had grown cold. And He planned to chasten them as proof of His love. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He disciplines us. That's a sign of His love. He disciplines us. So explaining to them that this is for their good, disciplining up. Children don't naturally do that which is right. They have to be disciplined out of love. God disciplines us out of love. And then there is a need for this exhortation, encouraging them Be zealous. Have a heart on fire for God and repent. Turn away from your indifference. They had to repent of their pride and humble themselves before the Lord. And so he gave him this counsel, and also, very important thing, the need for an invitation. God's invitation to human beings to come and to buy what they need without money, without costs. Isaiah 55 talks about that. Our salvation is not purchased through human efforts. It has been purchased for us by the blood, the death of Christ, the blood of Christ on the cross. And we need to humble ourselves, come in the name of the Lord, and believe in Him. Now here, Christ was outside the Laodicean church, and He spoke to the individual, if any man. Now this is a message to churches and to individuals. All right? Yes. The Laodicean church had put Christ outside the door. Christianity without Christ. But Christians can also do that individually. So he says, if any man, so he appeals to the individual. Christ is standing at the door of our hearts and he's knocking. He's knocking. Will we hear him? Will we let him come in? You might ask, well, how does Christ knock on the door? Through His Word. Now, we must hear God's Word to be saved. We must hear God's Word and obey it to grow. God knocks at our heart's door through His Word. Through His people. How can you hear without someone preaching to them? Romans 10:14. God uses preachers and witnesses of people to stir up our hearts. Through His Spirit, He sent the Holy Spirit to convict the heart of man of sin and righteousness and judgment. And through His providence, through God's grace, think about how God has been gracious to you. And may the grace of God touch our hearts. I don't deserve that. And through His Word and His people and His Spirit, His grace, knocking at the heart of your door, of your heart, will we not open that door? Will we not invite Him to come in? Now it says here the challenge that Christ gave to them. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. As each church, seven times we see this expression, hear what the Holy Spirit says. Hear. Don't be dull of hearing. Let us open our ears. Let us open our hearts. Let us open our hands and our feet that we'll receive what God's Spirit would say to us. And then He challenges us to be victorious. The victorious are the overcomers. As born-again believers, we are to be victorious. And in this age of apostasy, we're living in the last days, where many are turning away from the faith because they did not accept the faith. They were pretenders. There is deadness, there is indifference that will increase. Luke 18:8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? It's like in the days of Noah. Will He find faith on the earth? And the victorious will sit with Christ on His throne. That we will, in the millennial reign, that we will reign with Christ is what the Scriptures teach us. And that Christ was victorious. And because He was victorious, we as His followers should be victorious. And Christ sat down with His Father on His throne. Now, the letters to the seven churches are like God's x-rays. You know, you fall, you hurt, and you're not sure what happened. You go get an x-ray, or you get a, MRI or whatever it might be to see what's inside. And so here these letters to the churches are x-rays. God's opening up what's inside. Given to us that we might examine our own lives and the life of the church. And judgment is going to come to this world, yes. But first, it has to begin at God's house. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. The end of all things is near. The end of the world is near. The end of Christ is coming soon. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind that you might pray. And in verse 17, go down to verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So the Lord is speaking to us. And may the Lord help us in these letters to be encouragement as well as a rebuke. May the Lord help us to hear what the Spirit is saying today to the church and to the individuals in the churches. That's a very famous painting. I don't know, maybe you've seen this painting before. This is a painting by Holman Hunt. His painting of Christ knocking at the heart's door. Now notice carefully at this painting. Hunt did not include a door latch, indicating that the only way that door that represented their hearts could be opened was from within inside. You see, Christ is knocking at the door of our hearts. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to be on the throne. But we have to invite Him to do that. Lord, I want You to receive You as my Savior. I want You to be the Lord of my life. I want my heart to be fire. I want to care about You and the things of God. And the Lord says that when He comes in, He will eat with us. That is fellowship. You sit down and eat with a friend. You sit down in fellowship. And that is the invitation that we have. I also want to encourage us with this evangelistic service coming up the last Saturday of the month, March 25th, from 8 to 9 a.m. Pastor Doug Brown is going to come and share with us how to share your testimony. People say, I don't know how to give the gospel. I don't know how to speak to someone. Well, this is a good starting point. How do you share your testimony? And he's going to share with us, he's spoken many different places about this. And he's going to give us an opportunity to practice and learning how to share your testimony. A good preparation for our special meetings coming up March 31st. To April 2nd. That should be April 2nd. So let's be in prayer. Let's prepare our hearts. Learn how to give our testimony. Learn how to share the gospel. And encourage one another that the fervency of Christ may be a part of our lives. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for the message that You gave to these seven churches. Each of them, it's like You're opening up our hearts and x-raying our hearts and looking at what's inside. Is it genuine? Is it real? Father, I pray that as we look at this church of Laodicea, Lord, it's so easy to allow our hearts to grow cold, to become indifferent, to not care, to have apathy. Father, may You stir up our hearts. May You rekindle the fire within. May Your Spirit and the Word of God speak to our hearts, and each day speak to our hearts, revive our hearts, kindle our hearts, set our hearts on fire, Lord. I pray. Lord, we are in need. And may we see our need today. May we not be like the Laodicean church and think that I am rich and I have many things, but we are naked. We are poor. Our eyes do not see what we need to see. Lord, I pray that You would stir within us. Spirit of God, speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
请大家为这个祷告，还有可以邀请你的朋友来参加，听这个福音，这是非常好的机会，所以我们要为这个祷告，所以我们先低头祷告，好不好？神呢，我们感谢你，你是我们的父，我们因着信，我们是神家中的人。 我们感谢你，因基督是我们的头，我们因着恩典，我们是基督的身体。我们感谢你，圣灵是我们的恩膏，我们因着祂的能力，我们活着。我们也感谢你，圣经是你的书，是神默示给我们的话。求你 恩膏并开我们的耳朵，使我们可以听神的话。求你恩膏并开我们的眼睛，使我们可以明白神的话。求你恩膏并开我们的心，使我们可以接受神的话。求你恩膏并改变我们的思想， 使我们可以跟从神的旨意，求你恩膏并用我们的手，使我们可以照着神的旨意而做。求你恩膏并用我们的脚，使我们可以在神的旨意上行走。也求你恩膏并使用你的仆人，使他能向我们 传达你的信息，主，也求你恩膏并帮助你的教会，求基督建造他的教会，使我们可以寻求真神，祈求神国，连结于神，关爱别人，献身宣教，奉献事工。 我们奉耶稣基督的名祷告，阿门。那今天我们要看启示录第有七个教会的最后一个教会，这个叫不冷不热的教会。你看到这个启示录第三章十六节说， 你既如温水，也不冷，也不热。那今天我们看在启示录的七个教会，然后这是最后一个第三章最后一个教会，我们看到这个末世的教会是怎么样。然后下个礼拜我们开始看。 使徒行传的那些教会，那我们看七个教会的信息。第一个，这七个教会是在约翰的时代，在亚洲的七个时期教会。第二个，这七个教会也是代表教会历史的七个时期。所以我们看第七个教会就是最后一个时期， 就是今天的教会，还有这七个教会也是代表当今不同种类的教会，也是代表任何教会都可能有的特点，还有代表撒旦攻击教会七个方法，所以我们要学习这七个教会今天。 我们就是看这个老底家的教会，
14到15节，你要写信给老底家教会的使子说，那位阿们的。 为诚信真实建章的在神创造万物之上为元首的说我知道你的行为那我们看到在这里基督是阿们的阿们就是希伯来文字这个是我信 按着他的意思也是真理的意思耶稣就是真理他说我是道路真理生命若不接着我没有人能到父那里去还有他说真理基督是为诚信真实建章的他的话是真的 他所说的是真的还有他是在神创造万物之上为元首的这个意思就是说他是创造的来源感谢神耶稣基督起初道成的肉身还有耶稣创造万物 我们看到对于这个冷漠和自满的教会基督的意义和目的的源泉它是我们的目标它是我们的这个目的所以我们可以说阿们阿们的意思就是说 我相信耶稣基督是真理按着神的意思阿们所以耶稣是阿们平常我们祷告我们最后说阿们阿们就是我相信这个教会历史最后一个教会是老底家耶稣要他们明白他是阿们阿们 我们可以相信他我们看到基督给教会的长许平常他是谈到他们的行为我知道你的行为五次他都说这个七个教会我知道你的行为五个教会但是只有 老底家教会没有可长许的事没有什么可以说好的事其他的都说的他们有什么好的长许他们没有长许连一个都没有长许的话基督找不到一件事可以长许老底家教会的 好可怜幕后的教会有很多教会是像这个基督徒没有基督就是土就是没有什么没有什么你看基督徒没有基督就是没有什么有这个时代 有很多教会在外面他们是说他们是基督教但是基督在门外叩门他不在里面他在外面叩门这个很可怜在幕后的日子基督在门外叩门那我们看 基督给他们责备的话我们看第三章十五到十七节我们一起来读这段经节好不好来我知道行为也不冷也不热我拔不得你或冷或热你既和温水也不冷不热所以我必从我口中把你吐出去 你说我是富足已经发的财一样都不缺 却不知道你是坤殿的，你们发言是神的。哎，他说的这个慈悲的话，我应你，你是热，热的意思就是为基督发热的意思，有热心。狼就是拒绝基督的意思，那不狼不热就是啊，这个假冒为善的，也可以说是啊，这个腋窝的啊，这个对不起，这个冷漠的。那你说这样的冷漠的、不冷不热的啊，就像我在台湾的时候，我们啊，他们在台湾，他们会啊，特别是冬天的时候，他们会吃狗肉，所以我们说一个挂羊头卖狗肉。所以这样我们不要做这样的。耶稣说这样的话，我会把不喜欢他不喜欢先知，他说与你把你们吐出去，也可以说呕吐呕吐。哎呀，我做父母的话，你都知道你的孩子生病的开始吐，你帮助他们，但是你的肚子也不舒服啊，你也想吐。基督看到教会不冷不热，他想呕吐。那我们看这样的事情，我们也应该也想呕吐。那我们看到耶稣怎么样自备他们，他们生病的不冷不热，在基督啊，基督徒的生命中，你可以说有三种属灵的温度。一种是有热心，为神火热啊，请你们打开新约啊，《路加福音》好不好？《路加福音》怎么样有热，有一个热心？《路加福音》第24章。我们看到耶稣从死里复活，他遇到两个门徒，开始跟他们说话，然后他从旧约给他们解释关于基督，他们听到这些话，你看24章32节，他们彼此说，在路上他和我们说话，给我们讲解圣经的时候，我们的心岂不是火热的吗？我们听到基督的话，圣灵的感动，我们的心火热的吗？应该是火热的心。我们也看到保罗在罗马书，请你看罗马书，我们看到罗马书第12章啊，罗马书第12章，我们看第12章第11节啊，罗马书第12章第11节，好，我们一起来啊，殷勤不可懒惰，要心里火热，常常服侍主。我们要有一个火热的心，也不可以懒惰，要常常服侍主。所以我们看神的话，会给我们基督神的灵，神的话给我们一个火热的心，所以我们与你常常服侍主。然后我们看到这个火热的心， 然后我们看到一种狼心, 那怎么可以有这样的狼心呢? 请你打开马太福音, 我们看马太福音24章, 我们来看第12节, 马太福音24章第12节。 好, 马太福音24章12节, 来, 知因不法的事多，需要的人爱心应当讲淡。我们在幕后的儿子，我们看有这个不法的事增多，犯罪的事越来越多，许多人的爱心会渐渐的冷淡的，慢慢的 冷淡的，所以我们不要这个冷淡的心，然后还有一种是不冷不热的心，就是在这里老李家的教会，不冷不热的基督徒是舒适的，他们以为我很舒服啊，舒适的自满啊，我很自满，并没有 意识到自己的需要，来自哥罗西的冷水和来自希拉波拉的热水，再通过管道，到送到这个老底家的，就变成温的水，热水、冷水，因为老底家的水没有。 就变成到他们那边有温水，所以我们喜欢或者这个冷或者热的饮料，你喜欢冷的还是热的饮料？你喜欢喝热茶或者冷茶？不喜欢温的。 那基督将要从他们，从他的嘴里吐出他们，不冷不热。然后我们看到他们也受欺骗，自己骗自己，是最不好的欺骗，自己骗自己，所有的 欺骗都是邪恶的，但最具毁灭性的欺骗是自欺欺人，就是自己欺骗自己，以为都好，其实不是。老底家的描述，你说我富有，我已经获得财富， 一样都不缺，然后物质丰富不利于属灵生命的利，他们在属灵方面是缺乏。你看他们的描述，然后看基督的描述，基督说了什么？但你没有意识到你是 困苦的、可怜的、贫穷的、瞎眼的和赤身的，请你看马太福音第7章，在这里也有一个经节会形容到这个老底家教会，也是一个非常可怜的一句话，耶稣跟他那些人说的，你看。 马太福音第7章, 我们看22到23节, 22到23节, 当那日必有许多人对我说, 主啊, 主啊, 我们不是奉你的名传道, 奉你的名赶鬼, 奉你的名行许多, 这个异能吗? 我就明明的告诉他们说， 我从来不认识你们，你们这些作恶的人离开我去吧。这句话也是非常可怜的。他们在末后的时候，他们很多人是去教会的，但是他们不认识基督。他说我们去教会的，但是他们没有相信耶稣基督为他们的罪被人钉在十字架，从死里复活，他们没有心里相信耶稣基督的福音。所以耶稣说我不认识你，他也不认识这个老底家的教会。然后基督给他们的忠告，我们一起来读这段经节，从第三章18到20节啊，请大家跟着我来读好不好？我们一起来。我劝你向那买火炼的金子，叫你富足，又买白衣穿上，叫你赤身的羞耻不露出来。我买那要悄悄也要听，就让他们看见我要从来的，我所管理他们，所以要发热心，要改变，要叫我要在门外我们。若有人听见我的声音就开门，我就必到哪里去，我与他，他与我一同作息。他们没有需要的感觉，他们以为他们没有什么需要，但是耶稣告诉他们，他们需要这件事，他们需要受苦。舒服的时候他们需要受苦，你们需要买，他告诉他们要买三件事，要买这个火中勤炼的金子。啊，这个金子有好有纯洁的金子，要经过火才会出来。他们太舒服了，需要试炼的火。请你看彼得前书第一章，我们看第七节，也告诉我们同样的道理。彼得前书第一章第七节，叫你们的信心既被试验，就比那被火试验的仍然能坏的镜子不能是宝贵，可以在耶稣基督的显现的时候得着长赞荣耀尊贵。我们经过这样的试验，是我们的信心是真的。所以他们以为他们很舒服，但是我们要遇到一些困难，是帮助我们在属灵方面，帮助我们的信心能够长寿。第二个，你需要衣服。老底家的衣服很有名，你需要衣服。他们需要穿着白色的工艺衣服，遮盖他们可耻赤身的罪。这是白衣的衣服，就是耶稣基督的工艺。我们要穿基督的公义，白衣遮盖我们的罪。我也喜欢这个繁体字的义，羊在我的上面，神的羔羊在我的上面，才能够遮盖我的罪，遮盖我的赤身。然后他们也需要看见，他们需要买眼药擦眼睛，使他们能看见。他们需要有属灵的视力。老底家这个眼药很出名的，很 很有名的，他们要把这个药放在他们的眼睛，属灵的眼睛能够看到神的旨意，神的话给我们这样的意见。这个建立，也请你看彼得后书，我们看到彼得后书第一章第五到第九节，彼得后书我们看第一章我们在新约的后面，彼得后书第一章第五到第九节，我们一起来读特别注意到这个我们的信心好要加上什么。好，第五节，彼得后书第一章第五节，来，正因这缘故，你们要分外信心，有的信心又要加上德行，有的德行要加上知识，有的知识就要加上知底，有的知底要加上忍耐，有的忍耐又要加上前进，有的前进又要加上爱弟兄的心，有的爱弟兄的心又要加上爱众人的心。你们若充充满满的有这样的事，就必须你们担心这些的往事耶稣是不信解决的。人若没有这几样，就瞎眼的，就看不见你把这些洁净。所以你看第九节，人若没有这几样的，就是眼瞎的，树林瞎的眼，只要看见进出的这样的人，就是看到自己的需要，没有看到别人，没有看到神。所以我们看这个进出的，然后他告诉我们这样的话，就忘的他旧日的罪已经得的洁净。所以我们要能够看见有属灵的建立，然后我们也需要解释基督爱这批基督徒，虽然他们对他的爱已经冷淡的，但是感谢神的恩典，感谢基督的爱，他计划磨练他们，来证明对他们的爱。所以神给我们的管教是因为他爱我们，没有管教就是没有爱。我们做父母的给孩子的管教也是因为我们爱他们，神也是同样的给我们的管教是因为他爱我们。他们也需要忠告，基督说要悔改，要180度的改变，悔改并大发热心，然后他们必须悔改自己的骄傲，在主面前就是谦卑自己，还有他们需要邀请，这个就是基督给他们的邀请。上帝是邀请人类不花钱的来买他们所需要的救恩，这个救恩是神白白的赐给我们，我们不配得到他的救恩，他是邀请我们不花钱，就是来相信救恩不是通过人类的努力可以买来的，他是以基督在十字架上的死为代价替我们买来的，只要我们谦卑的人呼求他的名，相信他， 住在到底家教会之外。他对，也是对个人说，如果有人他欢呼个人基督怎么样叩门呢？你看这个经节启示录第三章二十节他在教会的外门，应该在里面，应该在每一个基督徒的心里的宝座上。但是不但是教会，也有一些个人的把基督放在外面，有需要的话我欢迎他，不需要的话我不，他在外面，我们都需要耶稣在我们的心里的宝座上。怎么样基督怎么样叩门呢？我们看通过他的话，约翰福音第五章也告诉我们，我们必须听从上帝的话得救。他叩门用他的话，我们要接近神，我们要听他的话，我们要读他的话。他要叩门，然后通过他的子民，没有人向他们讲道，他们怎能听见呢？所以耶稣是使用这个传道人，也就是用我们个人的见证。所以这个月底3月25号Brown 牧师要来跟我们分享怎么样预备我们个人的见证。所以我们基本的传福音的方法就是分享我们个人的见证，我们都可以学习。还有通过他的圣灵，他差遣圣灵定罪，罪和称义与审判人的心。有圣灵给我们，耶稣借着圣灵叩门，叩我们的心门，也是通过他的恩典。我们不配得到他的恩典，许多人被神的恩典所感动的。所以他用他的话，他用他的子民，他用圣灵，他的恩典叩我们的门，我们的心门，只要我们打开我们的心门，欢迎他进来。然后基督给这个老底家的教会的一个挑战，我们一起来读3章21到22节。好，我们一起来。得胜的我要赐他宝座上与我同坐，就与我得的上我父宝座上与我同坐一半。圣灵上众教会所说的话，凡有耳的就应当听。七次他写信给教会，七个教会，他就说的这样的话，听圣灵所说的。那也有三种人，那些有耳朵可以听的，但是不愿意听，还有那些听不进去的，要不但听也能够进入我们的心中，还有那些愿意听圣灵所说的，也愿意去行啊。所以我们看到我们要听圣灵的话，还有得胜的，这个是圣灵者，是得胜者的意思，也就是说重生的信徒，重生得救的基督徒，就是得胜的。在这个叛教的时代这个时代很多是叛教徒，是不相信基督。所以我们看这个这个灵性死亡和冷漠会参加的。然而当人子来的时候，他会在地上找到心吗？耶稣说他来的时候，在末后的日子，他来的时候 会不会在地上找到有心，像挪亚的儿子，会不会找到有心，有相信上帝的，相信真神，相信基督，还有得胜的，将与基督一同坐在他的宝座上。我们看到在前几年跟基督一起坐在宝座上，基督是得胜的，我们跟从基督的人借着耶稣基督也能够得胜。基督与他的父也是坐在宝座上，所以给七个教会的信是神的 X 光。我们生病的时候不知道是什么，我们去 X 光或是 MRI， 我们去检查看里面有什么毛病。所以这个教会，七个教会也是给我们，是我们可以这个检查我们自己的生活，自己的心，还有教会的生活，教会的心。审判将要到这个世界，但他首先在神的家里开始。这是彼得后书彼得前书第四章第十七节，也是告诉我们我们看彼得前书第四章第七节，也告诉我们万物的结局近了，耶稣快来的日子近了，所以你们要谨慎自守，精行祷告。然后第十七节说因为时候到的审判要从神的家起手，或是先从我们起手，那不信从神福音的人将有何等的结局呢？所以我们要看在这些信徒这个信件中，我们发现孤立和自卑。愿耶和华帮助我们听见圣灵今天对教会和教会中的人所说的话。有一个很有名的这个绘画是 Holman Hunter 画的，叫基督叩向心门。这个图片中请你特别注意到这个亨特没有包括一个门栓，没有，就是可以，这个可以表明唯一打开心门的方法就是从内部打开。耶稣基督愿意与我们同在，他叩门，他愿意进来我们的心，但是我们要开我们的心门。这个是给教会的，也是给我们每一个人的。我们低头祷告。亲爱的天父，今天我们看到这个老底家教会，看到这个老底家就是末后的日子的信徒，你给我们看 X 光，你给我们看他们的心，不冷不热的心。主，因为你是在门外叩门，你愿意进来，只要我们打开我们的心门，欢迎你到我们的心中，在我们的心宝座上做主。主，在我们这个末后的日子，我们也求你给我们一个火热的心，也求你 给我们一个复兴的心，不但是我们个人的，也给我们一个火热的教会，一个复兴的教会，在这个末后的日子能够为你做光做盐。主耶稣基督，求你建造你的教会，建造我们每一个人。我们感谢祷告奉耶稣基督名，阿们。
感谢主，他再一次的提醒我们，要不要不冷。